Good morning. Good to be back with you all this morning. I got to see your pastor this morning. He stopped out at Lost Lake, make sure I wasn't doing anything wrong. And that's okay. I like to start off sometimes with a humorous story. So here you go. This is just a short one. Make sure you're listening. Adrian Rogers, pastor, tells a story about a man who loved gold. Then he inherited a fortune. With joy, he redecorated his bedroom. He put gold parchment wallpaper up. He hung golden curtains. He had a golden colored rug and a gold bedspread. He even bought some yellow pajamas. But then he got sick, very sick, and he came down with, of all things, yellow jaundice. His wife called the doctor, who made a house call, and he went up to the bedroom for an examination. He stayed up there for a little while. He came back down, and when the doctor came down, she says, "Well, how is he?" The wife did. He goes, "Don't know," said the doctor. "I couldn't find him." Poke the person next to you and explain it. Matthew chapter 17. I'll be preaching from that portion of God's Word in just a little bit. Matthew chapter 17. And I've been thinking about preaching this since July, when my wife and I had the privilege of doing back-to-back camps down in Indianapolis area and then in South Central Illinois. And we just got to be together with Christian brothers and sisters and sing praises every day for two whole weeks. We got to be together in Bible studies every day for two whole weeks. We got to get together every night and listen to preaching. And that was a blessing. My wife, not so much. She's heard me preach too many times. But it was a privilege just to be preaching, you know, week, day after day, and to just be with Christians and not think about the world, not think about all the garbage that's going on around the country and in the things that we have to deal with when we come back. And we just got to be alone with God's people. And it was a tremendous, for us, mountaintop experience. Do you like mountaintop experiences? Matthew chapter 17, I'll read it in just a moment, but there are times when you and I have special experiences with God. There are times when it just seems like everything is great, it's perfect, it's just the way it ought to be for us as Christians. Jesus himself had several mountaintop experiences, and this isn't part of your outline, but I want to give you seven of them this morning. The mountain peaks of Jesus' life. The first, obviously, was his birth. The second was his baptism. The third was his temptation. The fourth was his transfiguration. We'll be talking about that from Matthew 17. The fifth was his crucifixion, then his resurrection, and then his ascension when he went back into heaven. And I know you're trying to write that down, some of you, so I'll give it to you again. His birth, his baptism, his temptation, his transfiguration, his crucifixion. Did I say that earlier? That was a mountaintop experience for him. His resurrection and his ascension back into heaven. Right in the middle of all these things that took place in Jesus' life is what we're going to read from Matthew chapter 17, the transfiguration. Now, I know that John preached this. He preached this from Mark a few weeks ago to our church. Did he preach that for you guys where they went up into the mountain? That's okay, because when preachers look at scriptures, a lot of times we get different things out of them than, you know, one another might get. Same way when you read it, God reveals something to you that he might not to others. So our messages are from the same portion, different gospels, but with a different bent to them. So Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, and I'll read through verse 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said this, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus, came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw nothing except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." We'll be looking at different verses in that, but I really want you to understand this morning that the Christian life has its ups and downs. There are mountaintop experiences. You've all had those, right? There are valleys that we find ourselves in sometimes. You've all had those, right? But most of our life is spent on the plain, not up in the mountain, not down in the valley, but just on this level plane of day-to-day living. But we're going to start with the mountaintop first, the marvelous mountaintop. Again, verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them to a high mountain by themselves. You know, in the Bible, there's all different type of mountaintops that they talk about. On Mount Sinai, God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. On Mount Pisgah, God gave Moses the privilege of looking over and seeing the promised land. On Mount Carmel, you know the story, God answered the prayers of Elijah, where he defeated all the prophets of Baal. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus, with his hands raised to heaven, went up into heaven, and the Bible says he will come again in like manner. On the mount called Calvary, the Son of God suffered and died for all of us. Throughout the Bible, there are mountaintops, and Jesus had many of those mountaintop experiences himself that we talked about. You and I need mountaintop experiences so that sometimes we can see things from God's view. We need to be victorious. We need to be on top. Like when my wife and I were at camp for a couple of weeks, we just enjoyed it so much, you know, just being with brothers and sisters in Christ, just loving each other and loving the Lord and worshiping together and spending those times together. And you've had those. Sometimes they last for weeks. You might go along for a weekend retreat. It might only last a couple of days. Sometimes it can be in church where you get together with brothers and sisters and the Holy Spirit moves and it just feels like a powerful mountaintop experience. And it's so, don't you just love them? I love the mountaintop experiences. I love them so much. Sometimes I don't ever want to go down, kind of like Peter when he said, "Jesus, it'd be good if we just stayed here. It'd just be good." You know, you don't always want to go back to the way things were. You don't always want to go back to the day-to-day grind. And that applies to all of us. You see, the Holy Spirit sometimes catches us up to the mountaintop so we can experience a special relationship with Christ, or we can learn a special lesson from Christ. And it's a wonderful time to just be with the Lord and be with fellow believers. I don't understand all the lifestyle of the monks that you read about where they just go away. And coincidentally, many times they live on the mountaintops, right? So no one can get to them. How high up can we go? How far away from people can we be? Just so we're just alone with the Lord. And there's something special about that. But I think also they're missing some of the things that we'll talk about in a little while if they spend all their time separated from the Lord. They get to know the Word, they get to know the Lord, they get to experience all that, but they miss a lot of other things, I'm afraid. So I love the mountaintops, and as Christians, you and I will experience different mountaintops as we go through life. We experienced the mountaintop of the new birth. You remember that? You remember when you were lost in sin and you turned your back on the Lord and did everything in the wrong way, but then God reached down and touched you and lifted you up and you felt that mountaintop experience of being with God? Wasn't that beautiful when you gave your heart to Christ? And I hope you've experienced the mountaintop experience of having the Holy Spirit fill you. When you became a Christian, you begin to walk with the Lord and still things begin to bother you and you became a little bit overwhelmed by things. And then you fell on your face and said, "Lord, I need more. I can't do everything that I should be doing. So, Lord, would you just cleanse me, take away that old Bob that lives there and fill me with your Holy Spirit?" That's a great experience. There's all sorts of mountaintop experiences for the Christians. Some of them are spiritual. Some of them are just the things that happen in life when we have children, when we have loved ones get married, when we have fellowship with families, those sorts of things. There's all sorts of mountaintop experiences. And I love them, but I just know that it's not enough just to have the mountaintop experience. And you know what makes it special? What really makes a mountaintop experience is what happens in verse 8. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. You see, they just saw Jesus. I don't like the things that are going on in the world, do you? I don't like the things that I see my children have to deal with. I don't like the things that I see my grandchildren have to deal with. I don't like some of the things that I have to deal with. And I don't like the direction many times that our country is going in, and certainly that the world is going in. And so sometimes I see all of those things, and it's important for you and I, if we're going to experience mountaintop experience, to just look up and see only Jesus. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But just that idea of keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and seeing Him. So that's the marvelous mountaintops that we read about here in Matthew 17. The second is the victorious valleys. Found in verse 14, and I'll just read that quickly to you. When they came down to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before Him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water." You see, Peter said, "God, Jesus, this is good. Let's just stay on the mountaintop. That's great." But Jesus said, sometimes we have to go down into the valley. And you have to go down and do the things that you have to do day after day. But sometimes we feel like we'd just like to stay up there. But you have to go back. How many of you have to go to work tomorrow? How many of you have to go to school tomorrow? How many of you wish you didn't? It's okay, kids. I understand. I didn't particularly like it all the time. But it's in those valleys where we can minister for the Lord. It's in those valleys where we can see the great victories. It's in that valley when they came down where Peter healed the man and did something wonderful. It's in the valley sometimes where Christ teaches us things. It's in the valleys when we don't want to be there, but God reaches down and touches us and uses us. And so I love the mountaintops, but I don't mind the valleys always because I see so many victories of the Lord. And it's easy to praise God and thank Him for all the great things that happen in our lives, and I hope you do that. But over my lifetime, I've spent a lot of time saying, "Thank you, Lord, for the challenges." I have 3 kids. I say, "Thank you, Lord, for that one. Boy, He taught me a lot. He taught me to really trust in You and put my faith in You. Thank you, Lord, for my daughter in the middle who just was a wonderful girl, but she also taught me some things. And thank you, Lord, for my last one, my youngest son, who You gave to us and who just pretty much did most things right. Thank you, Lord, for him." But whether it was a challenge or whether it was just a smooth road, I appreciated the valleys where God took me sometimes to teach me new things. Love the mountaintops, but I don't just want to stay there. One lady said it very well in a poem. She wrote this. I said, "Lord, let me walk in the fields." He said, "No, you walk in the towns." I said, "There are no flowers there." He said, "No flowers, but a crown." I said, "But the sky is black and there is nothing but noise and din." He wept as he sent me back. He said, "There is more. There is sin." I said, "But the air is thick and the fog abates the sun." He said, "Yes, hearts are sick and souls in the dark are yet undone." I said, "I shall miss the light and my friends, they'll miss me, they say." He answered me, "You choose tonight if I am to miss you or they." I pleaded for time to be given. He said, "It is hard to decide." "It will not seem hard in heaven." I said, "It is hard to decide." He said, "It will not seem hard in heaven if you have followed the steps of your guide." I cast one look at the field, then I set my face to the town. He said to me, "My child, will you yield to me? Will you leave the flowers for a crown?" Then into his hand went mine, and into my heart came he. And I walked in a light divine, the path that I had feared to see. You see, the secret of the victorious valley, when you have to climb off of the mountaintops and go down into the valley, the secret is this. It says in the verse, Peter, James, and John, they came down from the mountaintop. It wasn't just Peter, James, and John, but he was the Son of God. It was Jesus. And when you and I step off of those mountaintops, we may leave our brothers and sisters in Christ. We may leave the wonderful praise and worship and all the fellowship, but we never leave the presence of Christ. You see, he comes with us wherever we go. And when we go through those valleys, we're not going alone. When you go to a hospital room and you're dealing with a sickness with yourself or a loved one, you're not alone. He comes with you. Whenever you enter a valley, whatever it may be, a financial challenge, a spiritual challenge, something that you're dealing with in a relationship with a family member or a loved one or someone in the church, whatever it is, you are never going to be alone if you know Christ, because he will go with you. I think it's great. When they went down, Jesus went with them. That would have been terrible, you know. I mean, you go away for a great revival or a great concert, and you go home, and all the wonderful musicians and preachers stay there. But Jesus didn't. He went with them. So that's where we get the victorious valleys, when we learn that it's time to go down in the valley and do what God would have us to do. And it's down in the valley. See, if we stay up there where the monks do, way high up in the mountains, we're not touching people. But it's down in the valley where people are hurting. It's down in the valley where the reason that God gives us the mountaintop experiences, he gives us that special touch so that we can go down and minister to them. You see, it's down in the world where we have alcoholism and drug addiction in epidemic proportions. It's down in the world where you have homes that are falling apart. It's down in the world where you have young people committing suicide in record numbers. It's down in the world where you have heartache and pain and suffering. And it's down in that worldly valley that we don't always want to go to. But you have to. You have to. My daughter's on a vacation this week with her family, having a wonderful time. You think she wants to go back to work? You think her husband wants to go back to work? You think her two daughters want to go back to work? Would you want to go back to work? My son spent this past week in a prayer retreat, just himself and his wife. They went away for 5 days, just praying and seeking God's will and direction in their life. And guess what? He's a pastor. He didn't want to go back to church. He didn't want to go back to work. He knew that he was coming home Thursday night or Friday morning, and he knew Friday night he had a big concert at the church, and he had to get all that together. He didn't really want to go. He wanted to stay on the mountaintop and pray and spend time with the Lord. You have to go to work tomorrow. Maybe you don't want to, but you're going to have to leave your brothers and sisters here, unless you work with them. I don't know. But you will have to go back. But it's in the valley where God takes those marvelous mountaintop experiences and begins to change you and change others and use you to touch others. And I'm thankful for that. I am thankful for that. So it's the marvelous mountaintops, it's the victorious valley, and the third one and the last one is the plentiful plains. Talks about it in later on in the chapter, but I just want to read one verse for you. They were on the mountaintop with Jesus. They saw Elijah and Moses, and they had a wonderful time, and it was just a great experience for them. But now they come down, and look what happens in verse 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" Why? Why in the middle of this wonderful experience does he talk about paying taxes? Do you want to pay taxes? I don't want to pay. You do?
No.
Okay, I didn't think he did. I don't particularly want to pay taxes. I realize it's part of what happens when you live in a state, in a city, in a country, and that sort of stuff. But I don't really want to do it. But you see, I think what the Lord was trying to teach us is there are the mountaintops. There are the valleys where you experience victory sometimes as a healing of the boy. But then there are the day-to-day things where most of our life is spent. And I call those the plentiful plains. That's where you and I will be when we leave here. That's where you and I will be when we go to work tomorrow. That's where you and I will be when we go to school tomorrow. That's where you and I will be when we go back to our families and our friends. And it's where most of life is spent, the plentiful plains. And I get tired of it sometimes. I get tired of it. I get tired of living in the world every day doing the same things over and over and over. But you know what? In Galatians 6:9, I believe it says, do not become weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap a harvest. So even though I'm not on the mountain or not in the valley, I'm on the plentiful plain, you could say it either way, the plentiful, painful plains, whatever. But that's where I will reap a harvest if I am faithful to the Lord and I keep doing what He asked me to do. If I keep walking daily with Him, if I keep my eyes on Him, I will begin to reap a harvest. And I'm thankful for that because most of my life and your life will be spent on the plentiful plains. I wish I had some great illustration right here to share with you, but I don't, so I'm going to yell at you instead. He was at the other church too. Throw him out. No, I'm not. I'm just going to say this. In lieu of some beautiful illustration that'll get your attention, as a pastor, I would just like to say, this is where your life is spent, on the plentiful plain. And I would like you to just look at me. And I would like to say, listen. 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 Your life is not going to all be spent on the marvelous mountaintops. Your life is not going to all be spent in the valleys where you're defeated and then get the victory. Most of your life is going to be spent on the plentiful plains day after day after day after day. And when you and I become aware of that and begin to realize that it's not the mountaintops, it's not the valleys, it's the everydayness of life. That's a word, right? Everydayness. If it isn't, I just made it. But it's the everydayness of life where God does wonderful things, where He touches us and changes us and makes a difference in our life and in the life of others. You just got to hang in there. Somebody asked a world champion prize fighter once, what's the secret of becoming a champion? He didn't even think. He just looked at them and said, fight one more round. Fight one more round. Listen, what's the secret of being a successful Christian? It's do everything that Christ tells you to do, one day at a time, one day after the other, one day after the other, one day after the other, never giving up, never giving in, just saying, I'm going to walk with the Lord and I'm going to do what He asked me to do because I feel like that's God's will for my life. I want to be on the mountain. I don't mind sometimes being in the valley because I learn and grow there, but these plains are boring. Day after day after day. You know? It's even boring for pastors, right? Yeah, I see you back there trying to sneak in. But it can be boring doing the same things. It can be boring for Christians. But listen, it's where God does wonderful things. You see, when I gave my heart to the Lord the first time, when I found Him as my Savior, it wasn't in a powerful service where everything was just wonderful and up on top of a mountaintop. I began to walk with the Lord because I had a brother who walked with me on those plentiful plains and said, you need to stop being such a jerk. You need to grow up. You need to start doing what's right. He was a Christian and he called me that. I didn't tell him that wasn't right. But he told me, it's time to change. And it was on that plentiful plane of day-to-day living where I first begin to say, God, I know that there are things wrong with my life and I want them to change and I want to become everything that you want me to be. You see, it's on the plentiful plains where you find a family dealing with a sick child. It's on the plentiful plains where you find a loved one going through a terrible disease and fighting after it day after day. It's on the plentiful plains where you find people that are lost and are hurting and need a touch from Christ. And it's there where God begins to do the miracles. And I want God to do a miracle in your life, in my life, and in those that I love, and in the people that I come in contact with. And you know what the secret is? Not just fighting one more round, but what it says in verse 8. It says, when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And I like the way that's broken up in my Bible, because it also has the red letter saying, don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. If you and I can learn to live our lives where we see only Jesus, when we kind of get all of these distractions pushed off to one side or the other and fix our eyes on Jesus as we walk on those boring, mundane, day after day, plentiful plains, then He will begin to change you and He'll begin to change the world that you live in. You believe that this morning? Do you want that this morning? I love the mountaintops. Valleys are okay. I learn in them. But boy, those plentiful plains. I want to learn to love them, and the only way I can learn to love them is to realize that I need to fix my eyes on Jesus, walk with Him, do what He says, and begin with Jesus' eyes to see the world, begin to see the needs of people around me, begin to see the lost, begin to live a Christ-like life in my life and in the example that I put out there, so that people would begin to see something different and I can talk to them about the Savior. That's where it happens. That's where that, you know, when Christians get together on those mountaintops, they just sing and praise the Lord and have fun. You know? And when you're down in the valley, you're so busy struggling with everything that sometimes it's hard to do what God wants you to do and to reach out to people because you're dealing with issues of your own. But when you're on those day-to-day plentiful plains, it's just you and seeing Jesus and touching a world that's hurting. I want that for you. I want it for myself. We need it. We need it. This is a sad, sorry, sick world. And they need Christ, just as you and I did before we met Him. Would you stand with me? I want to pray with you, and then they'll come and lead us in a song. But I just want to pray with you right now. Just for a minute, look at the verse that he has up here. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and for a moment, just say, Lord, can you just make me see only you when I leave today, when I go back out on the plentiful plains? Help me to just see Jesus. Heavenly Father, it is not easy being a Christian. And it's okay. It's challenging. It's part of what we do. But Lord, will you help us in the days ahead to see you more clearly? Help us not to be caught up in all the things that are going on around us and worrying about this, that, and the other. Help us not to just see our own problems, but help us to see you. And then as we see you more clearly, I pray that you would help us to see a world that is hurting more clearly. And I pray that we would see them with your eyes. We would hear them with your ears. We would feel their pain with your heart. And we would touch them, Lord, as best as we can with your help to make a difference, to help them be healed, to help them give their hearts to you. Whatever, wherever you send us, help us to go, but help us to see you leading us. We don't come down from the mountain or out of the valley alone. We come with you. And I thank you for that this morning. We love you, Lord. Thank you for speaking through your word today. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one who He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. God bless you guys. You are dismissed.